trailer tire, camper tire blows. So it's like, oh, well, we got a spare. Pull over. You know, we're in the middle of nowhere, South Dakota. Everywhere is the middle of nowhere in South Dakota. It's just pretty much there's very few places that are somewhere in South Dakota. It's just it's a lot of nowhere. Just kidding. My wife is from South Dakota, and just I love South Dakota. It's beautiful. Even the
can you just say, Mr. Davis says, come on up. Y'all are so wonderful, and we are so blessed to be here, and you are family to us, and we feel very comfortable here, and we got to stay in their home with Steve and Joan. It was awesome. I just wanted to share one thing, and I'm hoping it kind of leads up to what Bill's sharing, but maybe not. But we have a pastor friend, and he was telling us that he's good friends with Jim Cimbala, who is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, where they have the big Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Has anybody heard of that big choir? Okay. So whenever Ken and Susie are in New York, they go and visit with Jim. So you have to walk in the sanctuary and walk through it to the office. And Ken walked in it one day, and he just felt such an awesome peace. And he said, I know that we carry the Holy Spirit in us, so I know it's not that the Holy Spirit's hanging on the walls, but he went in and he said, Jim, why do I feel this overwhelming peace and joy when I walk into your sanctuary? And he said, it's a clean atmosphere. And he said, when you join the choir, it's huge, a massive choir, you have to sign a covenant that you will never say anything negative against one of your brothers and sisters in the choir or in the church, that anything you say would be uplifting, and you have to sign and say that. He said, so when you walked in, you felt a clean atmosphere. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the churches that belong to Jesus Christ followed that? I'm not saying you have to sign a covenant, but we need to practice that. It's so easy for someone to say something negative, and we kind of join in with that, and when we really ought to stop that. And I know that God has dealt with me with that, and I heard Joel Osteen say something awesome. He said, wouldn't it be great if people talked good about you behind your back? And I started thinking about that. You know, how much, if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I really love your ministry, Bill. It's really great. But when someone comes up to you and says, you know, I was in another state and I ran into this person and they were saying how God uses you, Bill. That's even greater to know people talking good about you behind your back. So I think we ought to be known as a people who talk good about each other behind their backs. No boot this year.
Well, good morning. Is this working? No? He's messing with me. Because I always mess with him. Let me see here. I've got an orange light. Help me, Jesus.
That's it. Should be it.
Now it's working. Well, I don't know how many of you know Ole. Anybody? Uh-oh. Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh. No, I'm with you. I would like to have the ushers come forward, and I'd like to give financially to Bill and Darlene if you're able to sow into their ministry. So I didn't mention that to ushers, but if you guys would come forward and just go ahead and pass it while he's telling
get my Ole joke.
An Ole joke. Here we go. And I'm going to put that right there.
Now? Oh, my. I wasn't expecting that. You've heard of Ole?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Ole was flying back on Delta from Chicago. He'd been at the Sons of Norway conference in Chicago. And so he was sitting on the plane. Plane was boarding. And all of a sudden, this absolutely beautiful woman comes and sits down next to him. And she says, are you from Minneapolis? And he goes, yeah. She said, well, I'm going to Minneapolis because I heard that the Native American men and the Norwegian men are the kindest, most handsome, fun-loving men on the earth and treat women like queens. And he just kind of looked at her. She said, my name's Maria. What's yours? And he said, Geronimo Olson. I liked it. I want to speak this morning on a message called encouragement. Encouragement. How many of you need encouraging? Okay. What does the Bible say? Whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Anybody ever been in farming here? Not farming ton, but farming, okay? If you plant corn, do you get broccoli back?
No.
If you plant broccoli, do you get corn? No. Maybe accidentally, but not on purpose. In other words, there might have been broccoli in that field before. But listen, whatsoever man sows, that also shall he reap. That doesn't necessarily have to do with money, although it works in the realm of finances. You sow generously, the scripture says you reap generously. But I want to talk about the necessity of encouraging each other. The necessity of building up one another. How many of you know we got enough going on in this world to tear each other down? Am I right? Just watch the news. And I won't get into the politics, forgive me. But just watch the news. Just watch it one day. I've done my best to avoid the negatives and the rhetoric that comes out of the media. And we knew this was coming back 40 years ago because we could see the professors and the teachers in the colleges teaching on media were starting to turn, and their teaching began to be more liberal to the point where those that were studying becoming reporters and media people, they began to turn negative. And they began to report in a negative fashion. And I want to say that we, the body of Christ, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, is called to be the positive voice in our community. I got two amens on that. You are called to be the positive voice. But how do you practice this? How many of you have ever had a struggle seeing a doctor, MD, and under it says practicing medicine? How many of you like that one? He's practicing? He hadn't got it right yet? Practicing law. Oh, man, that's one that scares me. But you see, there is a practice ground for us to be encouragers. It's called the church. Amen. Come on, it's called the church, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, Romans 14:17 says. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that word righteousness translates right relationships. So if you're in right relationships, you'll become what Jesus intended you to be, and that's an encourager, a builder. Exhort one another, the scripture says. build up one another. In fact, it says encourage one another day by day. Let me say to you, you shouldn't let a day go by that you are not an encourager. Be an encourager to your wife. You've got nobody else around you? Encourage your wife. Encourage your children. Encourage your neighbor. Do something with this thing called courage. And I want to share scripture with you. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Yeah, I love this. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Be on guard. Say that with me. Be on guard. Why? Why should you be on guard? How long have you been a Christian? I would say if you've been a Christian over 12 hours, you have realized you are in a war. We are involved in spiritual warfare. There are things out to destroy leaders. There's things out to destroy the church. There's things out to wreck the church. And the thing that we have to do is we have to build the body of Christ, the church, on the strongest foundation possible. And that's Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of God. He is our rock. Do not build your house upon the sand. Build your house upon the rock. The same winds that come blowing against the house on the sand blow against the house on the rock. We have my mentor, his name was Harold Kent. And Harold Kent was an encourager. He was a builder. We went up to visit them up in the North Carolina mountains. They had a home in the highlands up on top of a mountain. And they had a hurricane blow through just before we got there. And we saw a lot of damage on the houses up on the mountains because the winds would come and sweep up the mountain. And I looked at his home, and there wasn't one thing out of place. And they had 130-mile-an-hour winds come through. Now, that's pretty stiff, okay? And he said, come here, I want to show you something. And we went down in his basement, and he made glass. He built these kinds of things in his basement. What do you call that? Yeah. I couldn't hear that, but I'm in agreement. Yeah. Anyway, he would build these things in his basement. And he took us down there to show us what he was working on. And he said, let me show you something else. This is why we had no damage, where some of the other places up here had damage. He walked around the corner, and here that house was built on this huge rock. Huge. And they had painted it white so you could see it very well. And he said, this is why our house had no damage, because it's built on the rock. And let me say to you, there are winds blowing. Be on guard. Be aware. I would say be aware of circumstances. Situational awareness. Say that with me. Situational awareness. Be aware what's surrounding you. Be aware of your community. Don't be on guard to stop God from moving. Be on guard to stop the evil one from moving. You say, how can we do that? We can do that because the Son of God already paid the price to stop him. Spiritual warfare? Absolutely. But I don't know. Did anybody read the back of the book? We sang it this morning. We win. Come on. Turn to the person next to you and say, we win. But at the same time, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Listen to the next one. Be courageous. Be strong and do everything with love. I see five things here. Watch with awareness, stand firm, be courageous, be strong in the Lord, and do everything with love. Now, some of you know we've been around a long time, so some of you know that in 2008, I had heart surgery. Anybody know that? Stephen Jones did. Some of you knew. I had open heart surgery, triple bypass. I had two arteries that were, one was 90% blocked, one was 100% blocked, the other one was 80% blocked. How many of you know, I asked the doctor how that happened. He said, too many cheeseburgers at the turn. Some of you golfers will get that. But anyway, they took me in, they did the surgery, and they brought me back out, and they told Darlene, we have to take him back in. Because my blood pressure dropped to 60 over 40. And that indicated I had a bleeder inside my chest yet. So the doctor said, we took you back in. We had to open your chest back up again. He said, but we decided not to put you on the bypass machine. Because we just needed to sew up that bleeder. But he said, while we were doing that, he said, we carotid your heart. I said, you did what? We carotid your heart. I said, explain that to me. How's that spelled? He said, the same spelling for courage. We carotid your heart. And we kept your heart beating by massaging your heart. And we kept you alive. He said, if we hadn't done that, we'd have had to put you on the bypass machine again. And he said, that's just not the best thing to do when you have a bleeder. So they fixed me. Now, if I hear any boos here, I'm leaving. But they fixed me. And when he was telling me about carotiding my heart, I said, would you explain that to me? He said, yeah. He said, it's a French word. And then I realized that in the New Testament, in the Greek did not have an adequate word for courage. Think about that. And King James conscripted this French word, courage, where it is used in the New Testament to encourage one another. It's encourage. It literally means put the heart back. God bless you. It's been good being with you. How many of you know that's enough revelation right there to carry you forward? Put the heart back. How many in this room have had their heart stolen from them? You've had your heart beaten up. You've had life and circumstances rip your heart apart. Brokenheartedness is one of the things Jesus said, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. And to encourage one another is to encourage one another, is to put the heart back in the way God intended it to be. I love that. Encourage one another. Day by day. Every day. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. Encourage. Especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Now, how many of you know that was written 2,000 years ago? And the day of his return was drawing near back then? How many of you know it's a lot nearer now? As the day draws near, now let me say to you, we live in a society that is basically negative. And we have an opportunity to turn that around. I believe there's a great move of the Holy Spirit coming, and that move of the Holy Spirit's going to come out of bellies that is flowing like river. What's the name of this church? The what?
River.
It's not the River or the Rival.
Yeah, that's
It's the river. And out of your belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living water. Wow. Encourage one another. Day by day. Every day. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you should be doing. Are you getting this yet? Encourage one another. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to get it today. I want to share an Old Testament scripture, and then I'm going to share a story, and we'll see where this goes. Proverbs 11, verse 35. The generous will prosper. Say this, the generous will prosper. Doesn't that sound good? I pray that you will be prosperous in your soul. I pray that your soul may prosper. 3 John. But look at what it says here. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Those who refresh others. You know anybody here that needs refreshing? Am I amongst the right people?
Yeah.
Anybody here need refreshing? How many of you know we, just by Steve talking about what he did, about all the activities going on in the church, he said, now if your schedule permits, get involved. And I would amen that 100%. But how many of you know schedules are schedules? And here's the problem. Is we can schedule ourselves right into oblivion. We can schedule ourselves right out of each other's lives. When the body of Christ is supposed to be scheduling ourselves into each other's lives so that we can set an example for the streets. You see, we're called out of the four walls. We're called out to the streets, to the community. But we practice in here. And we're going to practice here in a few minutes. But it'd be all right if I close with a story. Some of you may have heard me share this before, but I'm going to share it again. Be patient. Darlene and I were part of this church we talked about and for 30 years. Tampa Bay Community Church, okay? And we had done all kinds of ministry in that church, but we began itinerating in 1984, and we've been itinerating ever since. We've been actually in the ministry 46 years. That gives me a little bit of credibility, but not much. Don't amen that one. But anyway, I was scheduled on this one specific Sunday morning to introduce a new worship song and sing it and lead the congregation in it. And many of you will remember the song, As a Deer Pants for the Water, So My Soul Longs After You. Great song. But the pastor had asked me to lead that song that morning. So I was talking to him out in the foyer, and we met in a high school auditorium at that time, and I was talking to him out in the foyer, and I said, when do you want me to sing this? He said, after the offering. Would you please do that? We're going to have music, but I want you to introduce this after the offering because I want people to really get the impact of this song. I said, okay, no problem. So I turned to walk away, and I saw coming up the aisle into the foyer a guy named Les. If you've heard this before, again, be patient. I did not like Les. Am I making confession here? I didn't like him. I didn't like anything about him. He irritated me. Every time I'd get around him, I'd get irritated with him. I didn't know what it was, but I just didn't like it. So I turned so I wouldn't have to even say good morning to him. Now think about my character, guys, to walk away. And I got about 4 steps away, and the Holy Spirit stopped me, and he said, not this morning. Dumb as I am, I go, what? I did. And he says, I want you to go back to Les, and I want you to say these words. Les, you're going to make it. Now, I felt that Les fit his name very well. I'm sorry, but that's... But the Lord said, you go back and you tell Les, you're going to make it. And I went, Lord, why don't you tell him? He said, I'm about to. Oh, good. And he said, through you. All right, I'll do it. I said, but God, you know I don't like Les. And God spoke back to me and he said, that's okay. He doesn't like you either. Do you know I was hurt? I was hurt. I went, oh, really? Yeah. But as I stepped towards him, this is the truth. As I stepped towards him, I felt his addictions. Immediately knew what he was addicted to. He was addicted to a prescription drug that a psychiatrist had given him. I knew it. Don't ask me how, it just God dropped that in my spirit. So I walked over to him and I said, Les, I want to tell you something. He said, what? I said, Les, you're going to make it. He started weeping. He said, did you talk to my wife this morning? And I said, I wanted to say it's not my habit to talk to your wife on Sunday morning. I barely can talk to you. I didn't. But I said, no, I didn't. He said, my wife and I sat at the breakfast table this morning and decided to separate and file for divorce. He said, the medication I've been taking has ruined my manhood. But we prayed one last time. God, if you want us to stay together, send somebody to tell us we're going to make it. Are you breathing? Send somebody. He said, you are the farthest one I would have ever expected to be somebody to say that. He said, I don't even like you. I said, yeah, I know. I said, you're addicted to this prescription psychiatric medicine. That's what's missing with you. I said, would you allow me to minister to you and pray for you and help you get off of this? And he started weeping again. He said, my doctor's been wanting me off of that for 5 years. I said, I am willing to stand with you as a brother and as a friend to encourage you. Come on, guys. For 3 nights, I walked him through cold turkey with the doctor's permission. And in 3 nights, he was set free. Come on. God healed his marriage big time. He and his wife became the directors of Couples United in Christ for our city. They were instrumental in saving over 400 marriages in their tenure. And guess who's best friends today? Bill and Darlene and Les and Gail Wynn. And we counseled them for years. We stood with them. We just didn't just counsel them for a day. We stood with them for years. He came to me and he said, Bill, I work for my dad. And he said, I'm so sick of it. He said, I want to do something so different. And I said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to do landscaping. And I always knew he had an art in him, but I didn't know what it was. He said, I want to do landscaping. He said, my dad's willing to set me up in a landscaping business. I said, well, what do you want to call it? He said, I want to call it More with Less Horticulture. And he started his business, and his first contract was the Steinbrenners. Did you hear me? George Steinbrenner. That was enough to keep him in business for 40 years. But you see, all of that came out of encourage one another. Build up one another. Say to one another, you're going to make it. You may be going through difficult times, but you're going to make it. My God is a great big God. He's huge, guys. Doesn't the Bible say our God holds the universe in the palm of his hand? And the devil squeaks over in the corner, I'm bigger than God. Yeah, right. My God holds the universe in the palm of his hand. That's how big he is. Do you think he's big enough to take care of you? Yeah. You think he's big enough to take care of your neighbor? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Now remember, I closed 5 times. Oh, we're good. I want to close with this story. It's Luke 18, verse 35. And I'm just going to go through it with you. Scripture says Jesus was on his way through Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. And he was on his way to another city, and he was passing through Jericho. And the crowds began to gather up. And this man who was blind his whole life asked somebody, who is this? Oh, it's the Nazarene, Jesus. And he's way in the back of the crowd, okay? And he shouts. Many of you have heard this story before. He shouts, Son of God! Have mercy on me. And what did the crowd do? The leaders. They turned around to him. Shh. You're going to bother him. Stop it. We don't do that here. And the scripture says, out of that encouragement, he shouted all the more. He could have cared less what that crowd was saying. He shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me! And the scripture says, I think Jesus heard him the first time. I think he was trying to do something at that crowd. And he turned around and he said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to be able to see. He said, your faith has made you whole. He rose up and he began to praise God. He could see. He was healed. Okay? Scripture then says, all those around began to praise God, including those that told him, shh. Let me ask you a question. Where did that happen? What happened in Jericho? The walls fell down? It was the home of the shout, guys. That's where the shout originated. When the Israelites went around 7 times, they shouted, the walls came down. These were formidable walls, guys. Listen to me. I'm not telling you to walk out and start shouting. I'm telling you, don't let the discouragers overwhelm you. Let the encouragers build you up. Come on. Jesus was the encourager. I'm going to lead you into some encouragement right now. Would that be all right? Let me say something about my wife. I told Steve this morning at breakfast. I said, Steve, you know you and I married way up. Anybody agree with that? Ray, you married way up, buddy. Way up. I didn't deserve this precious lady God gave me. I didn't deserve it. But some of you know I met her on Friday and asked her to marry me on Saturday. It's a true story. And to my shock, she said yes. Because she had asked the Lord as a child, I want a Christian home. And she knew she was getting a Christian. Are you with me? I don't recommend that. You young people, listen to me. Don't do that. Okay? But I look and see what God has given me. God has given me the most encouraging woman that I could have ever had. She knew Scripture. She knew her foundation. She walked in her foundation. And she allowed me to begin to grow in Christ because she kept telling me, Bill, God's called you. Come on. You can do this. And I think I'm finally getting it. I'm starting to do the stuff that Jesus did. And that's to love at all times. To encourage one another. To build up one another. To say to my friends and my family in the body of Christ, you're going to make it. Where do we practice? Say it with me. Right here. Right here. And listen, I love the fact that you're in a building like this. But let me say something to you. If you only come in here to hear Steve preach, you are in trouble. I'm serious. Not that Steve can't preach. He can. Look at you. I mean, you're healthy. But that is not why we come here. We do not come here to fellowship the back of someone's head. How many of you know you can go to the movies for that? And when I go to the movies and I sit down in front of somebody, I always turn around and say, is my hair bothering you? Maybe the glare. But do you understand what I'm saying about building up one another? Anybody here need encouraging? If you do, I want you to stand. Follow your arm up and stand and say, I need encouraging. Okay? Wow. Goodness gracious. Well, I would do a standing altar call, but I think our song we sang today was Come to the Altar. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. Come on. So I don't go forward anywhere. Come on. Come up here and get encouraged. I'm going to cut you loose for your lunch in just a minute. Come to the altar. Come stand next to somebody. Stand next to your wife. Get up next to your children. Who needs encouraging more than our children? In this day and age, our children need to hear, you're something special. You're God's favorite. You ever heard Darlene share on that? You're God's favorite. She always felt like she was God's favorite. And she is. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, God, will you help me? Say it with me. God, will you help me? Jesus, will you give me the strength to encourage someone? To say to someone here in this crowd, you're going to make it. Now turn to somebody and tell them, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it, guys. Come on. Practice in here. Turn around and tell the person behind you, you're going to make it. Tell somebody you were created for a time like this. Come on, you Esthers. You were created for a time like this. More with less. You have more with less. God wants you to walk out of here knowing that you're something amazing. Your children are something amazing. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're less. That's how I felt about less, and I was wrong. I had to repent. You're very, very special. You're special. Bruce, you're special. It's a good thing. You're special. Do you understand what I'm saying? One of my heroes. Come on. Steve, you're special. Where's that Ray Snesri guy? You are special, Ray. And a really good euchre player. Just not good enough. Somebody tell me I'm special. All right. Tell me I'm going to make it. All right. I made it here last night. Come on. Let's pray. Father, there is nothing more precious than what you've created. You have created us in our mother's womb. This is why abortion is so wrong, God. It's so awful. 65 million babies murdered in our country alone. 65 million, God. Put a stop to it. Raise up a Supreme Court that will stand against it, God. That's why you brought who you brought into the White House. God, you did that for this reason, if nothing else, for this reason and this reason alone. It's to put a stop to the murders of unborn children. God, let us be encouragers. Let us not go out and drag people out of the abortion clinics. Let us be able to minister to each other so we practice and minister to those that are hurt and wounded and brokenhearted and feeling like they got no value and no worth. God, let us be those of worth and value and share that worth and value with others. God, give us that vision to be able to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Punish and steal and rape and pillage the Jews, talking about fellow Jews that would curse them and take their stuff and drive and persecute to the point where they're fleeing their homeland. Love those who hate you. Do good to those who hurt you. That's what we're supposed to do. And he's talking, it doesn't mean we don't judge anything. It says the mouth. Don't slander. The issue is don't slander your brothers and sisters. You can, God will judge them. He says there's one lawgiver and one judge. And when we slander, we're going against the law of God that says love your neighbor as yourself. That's the problem. Don't be careful with your mouth. James is saying, watch your tongue. Don't verbally condemn your brothers or sisters. And then he says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And he says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And how many times do we make plans and all of a sudden, boom, didn't see that coming. Change of plans, and we know that God says we make our plans, but he directs our steps. And to be okay with, it's good, does that mean we shouldn't plan ahead? No, it's good to plan ahead. But plan with God's sovereign will in mind. Make your plans acknowledging that God knows more of the future and more of the circumstances, and his wisdom is far beyond yours. So you make your plans, but you acknowledge God. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your steps. Well, this thing went wrong. This famine came. This tire blew. I got this flat. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. And it's okay if plans that you made go one way or the other. So, and then he says, You know, we think sin is only doing bad things, and if we're not doing bad things, then we're good. Well, James makes it clear that even not doing good things is sin. The thing that you know, Jonah knew to go to Nineveh and preach, and he didn't. To him, it was sin. You mean it's sin not to preach the gospel? Yeah, if you're told to go speak to that person and you don't do it, it's sin. It's not just alcohol and drugs and lying and stealing. It's some really good things. Even socially acceptable things can be sin, and things that we don't do. So all this is really summed up, very simply summed up, in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That really is a summary of this whole chapter, because then we're not going to have fights with each other. We're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're not going to question God, you know, that we're not going to put other things before him. We're going to love him first. Love him first with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our checkbook and our debit card and all that. And we're gonna obey him. We're going to listen to him, and we're going to involve him in our plans. We're not going to slander our brother. All these things summed up. Love the Lord and love your neighbor. That mindset will carry you through trials and hardships of many kinds in this life. And then I want to just close with this thought. Again, the people, the diaspora is who he's talking to. The people that were the dispersed of God due to their devotion to Christ, their commitment. They were, because of that, they were hated by the world. They were persecuted, threatened, abused, and driven out. They had to flee for their lives. They had to leave what they knew, what they were familiar with. They left their homes and lived in places that weren't their true homes. And that's what you're doing right now. Just like you, you're not living in your true home. This is not your real home. You may be born and raised in Faribault. This is not your true home. You're living in a foreign land. You're a citizen of heaven, temporarily dwelling on this earth. You will have a new home. The ancients, the patriarchs, the people of God, they were looking forward to a better city. There's a better city coming. And all of us in Christ will go to a much better city, not made by human hands. Abraham understood that he was living in a foreign country, and he looked forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. The ancients of God went through this life longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And it says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And Jesus said, I go and I am preparing a place for you. And so no matter how great things go here or how bad things go here, this is not your dwelling of permanency. This is not your true home. Knowing that, and I'll just admit it, dumb, fat, and happy flows a lot better than wise, filled, and joyful. Dumb, fat, and happy is a great place to be when you just trust the Lord and you just receive his filling for us and walk in his joy and know that you're blessed. Know that we're blessed because of what Jesus has done. And that'll take the edge off the fights and take the edge off the doubts and take the edge off the emptiness of living and trying to get this world to line up and be really great. We'll have some measures of greatness. We'll have some measures of pain and sorrow. But it's all temporary. So let's stand up and close. I want to close with prayer. And I do want to just encourage you. I hope you're encouraged that God is good no matter what. And in his wisdom, he has allowed a lot of things that we would say are really bad, really painful. But his wisdom is perfect. He knows what he's doing. And he's working in big, long-term, multi-generational ways. He's not just working on the here and now. He doesn't just care about you right now or in this few decades. He cares about your children. He cares about you. He cares about your grandchildren. He cares about your next-door neighbors. He cares about the legacy that you'll leave for generations to come. And he will bless as we honor him first and humble ourselves. So, Father, we just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace towards the humble. And help us to humble ourselves, God. Help us to not be so smart that we think we know better than you, but that we wouldn't think so hard, and we just trust you and take you at your word and know that no matter how rough things can get at times, you know what you're doing, and you're working in all of it to bring glory to yourself, and you're working it for our good, long-term good. And Father, we just give you our lives in a fresh way. We humble ourselves, God, and say, use us, Lord. Speak to us. Live your life through us. Be glorified. Be the light of our lives and use us to light the way for many people. God, use us to be the salt that adds flavor to a bland world. But with you, it can be life-giving and bring a flavor that's wonderful. So Lord, thank you, and help us to be rejoicing and grateful in whatever circumstance comes our way. Thank you for James and his resolve to not just speak shallow words of comfort to a hurting people, but to truly challenge them to be mature in Christ and take the hard way, knowing that there's life in that. So Lord, help us to be the mature ones, not the ones who demand that we get the whole cookie in life and that complain when we get the double flat tires and in life, but actually trust you that you're creating opportunities through these things in a very short-term way in our lives, because we are so temporal, that you're creating opportunities for us to reflect your life. So Father, help us to live for you, to be gracious to one another always, to honor you first above everything else. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us first. Just bless this gorgeous summer day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.